I wonder this morning if there are any Cash in the Attic fans here or any Antique Roadshow folks here. Come on, confessions, good for the soul. Any in here this morning? Yes, okay, some bold people this morning willing to admit that. Very interestingly, it was a number of years ago, there was a story told about a family that actually came with a ring, and it's really quite connects with us because our kids, I don't know what you're used to, kind of dress up and they would love to kind of put all mum's jewels on. And so there was a particular ring, it was a ruby ring that had been passed down to this family. And it was one day the kids were dressing up again and out they came and they had the costume jewelry on. And one of their friends, when they were in the house, they said, that ring looks quite expensive. Have you ever actually had it valued? And the mum said, no, it's just it was left with a great aunt, left it to us. We've never really had it valued. She said, I think you should get that valued. I think it's quite expensive. So she took her advice. She went, she got it valued. And believe it or not, the ring was worth £800,000. And here the kids are running about with this ring as costume jewelry. And two things that really strike me about that. One, about the experts that really know the treasure. When you listen to Antiques Roadshow experts or Cash in the Attic, they really know what they're talking about. And the second thing is that the owners had no idea of the true value that was actually in that ruby ring. This is what Paul is talking about here when we talk about the gospel. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show us this all-surpassing power that is from God and not from us. Unfortunately, many of us don't know the gospel and don't realize the value of the gospel and how it should be of first importance. Rico Tice, the author of Christianity Explored, says we should preach the gospel and let God open the eyes of the blind. The good news is for everyone, everywhere. Julian Chabagin, Billy Graham's grandson, wrote a book a number of years ago which really captures the importance of the gospel. It was called Jesus Plus Nothing Equals Everything. Great title. The gospel is found in the person of Jesus Christ. In some occasions, we find that in our church in Scotland, we've lost the gospel from our churches and from our pulpits. Instead of preaching for souls, we're drifting into what's popular and acceptable in society. Scotland needs the gospel. Scotland needs the gospel to be preached now than ever before. Scotland is now one of the most secularist countries in the world. We're one of the most unreached people groups to share with the gospel. And this morning, we know in our families that there's people that need Christ. We've got children that are far from God. We've got neighbors who don't know where Christ or who Christ is. We've got colleagues that really are set in a path of destruction, and they need to hear this good news of the gospel. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, would you please turn up to Colossians chapter 1, just in way of introduction. The letter to the Colossians is known as one of Paul's epistles, prison epistles, written sometime about AD 60. The layout of this letter is very similar to the letter of that of Ephesians. Like Ephesians, Colossians divides nicely into two parts. Chapters 1 and 2 are focused on doctrine, and chapters 3 and 4 are focused on practical Christian living. Ephesians can be described as portraying the church of Christ, but Colossians portrays Christ of the church. Ephesians focus on the body of the church, but Colossians focus on Christ as head of the church. The letter in Colossae shows in chapter 1 later that Christ is preeminent and should be preeminent in everything. He created you. He set you free. He forgave you. He is the image of God. He's the firstborn of all creation. He precedes all things. He holds all things together. In short, he is all that matters. Paul's purpose in writing to the church in Colossae was to encourage the believers to hold on to the truth of the gospel. We have no record of how the church in Colossae actually began, but some scholars believe that it was during Paul's three-year mission in Ephesus, and two prominent men there from Colossae heard Paul preach, Epaphras and Philemon. When they returned to Colossae, they were both active in spreading the gospel. And Colossians 1, 6 and 7 tells us, and Colossians 4, 12 and 13 tells us that. So Paul writes to the believers in Colossae because of the report given to him by Epaphras while Paul is under house arrest in Rome. So in the time I have, I want to share three truths with you. And the question really I'm looking at this morning is why the gospel should be of first importance. So if you can open up to chapter 1 of Colossians, please, and I'm going to read from verse 1 through to 8. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always pray for you, and we thank, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard it and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others and the Holy Spirit has given you. Let me briefly pray. Father, I thank you so much for the good news of the gospel. I thank you for the privilege that we have just in these moments, Lord, to open up your word. Lord, now, Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts? Would you keep us attentive to what you would want to say to us, Lord? Help us to be ready to receive what you would say to us this morning. Move, Lord, powerfully, we pray in Christ's name. Okay, so three truths. Why the gospel should be of first importance. The first truth is the gospel is good news. Look at verses 5 and 6. It said, you have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. The same good news that came to you. The gospel is good news. The word gospel originates from the meaning of the New Testament Greek word evangeline. I've actually just became a grandfather 9 months ago. And our granddaughter, who lives in Arizona, is coming to Scotland in 2 weeks. And I have to tell you, I'm rather excited about it. And her name is Hope Evangeline. Good news. Good news. And so we're excited about that. Not only is the gospel good news, the gospel is truth. The gospel is truth. It's the one and only truth. It's not a scientific theory. The gospel is not a changing message. There only is one true gospel. Paul reminds us that what the gospel is. Listen to the words he says in 1 Corinthians 15. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message that told you, unless, of course, you believed something that was never true in the first place. Verse 3, it says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for your sins, just as the scripture said, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day. Paul's reminding us this morning of this message of the gospel, the same message that many of us have come to faith in Jesus Christ. The famous preacher D.L. Moody talked about the three R's when he shared the gospel: ruined at the fall, redeemed by the blood, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. The gospel in three R's. It's the same good news that the first century believers received, and it's the same good news that we are still seeing people come to faith today. This good news has changed lives, and the good news that it also changes friends and family who don't know the Lord. One of the great truths that I've found is that when you share the good news of the gospel, people are impacted by it. I have the privilege of working as a school chaplain in Dean's Community High School down in Livingston, about 13 miles west of Edinburgh. And one of the things that we do is we do a drop-in on a Tuesday for students just to get to know me. And also we do a thing called Q Place, which is an opportunity to explore what it really is to follow Christ. And during that time, over the last few years, there was one particular girl that would really come weekly, weekend. She would come with her sister. And I remember it was after school getting a phone call from this girl, and she said, "Rob, we are in dire straits as a family." She was in S5. She said, "Rob, I'm phoning you because I don't know who else to turn to." She said, "We've no electricity in the house. In fact, we've no food." And she said, "My mum and dad just don't know what to do." And I said, "Well, thank you for letting me know that, Bobby. Leave it with me." And right away, you would do it. You just go into autopilot, and went to the cash line, got some money, stick it in an envelope. And all the way in the car to the house, I'm wrestling. I'm thinking, this is quite embarrassing. I'll just pop it through the letterbox and I'll make my exit. This is quite awkward. And I was convicted. I thought, no. The Holy Spirit was saying, "Rob, you're the good news today. You're the good news to go in and to get alongside that family and give them something of the fragrance of Jesus Christ." And I remember parking, going in, went into the house. Mum came down, Dad came down. They sat in the living room and both the girls were there. And I said, "Listen, all of us have been at this place. We know what it's like to struggle. And I recognize here is a gift that we want to give you. We don't want it back, we just want a gift to give it to you. And may that help you just at this moment." And I said, the conversation was really going quite well. But out of the corner of my eye, I noticed in the living room, just Buddhas all the way round the fireplace and all the way round. And I said to her, "Look, do you mind if I pray?" And she said, "Oh, Robert, not at all. Please pray. And when you pray, would you ask God to help me to forgive him when he took my son when he was 4 days old, and that's his ashes on the fireplace?" I'm like, no pressure. And I have no idea. I said, "Look, can you mind if we hold hands?" And I took their hand with both their girls, and I prayed. And I prayed my heart out that somehow that they would know the fragrance of Christ, that they would know this good news, that when you get to the end of yourself, there's hope. And it comes in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, we said a prayer, I made my exit. The following Sunday night, that lady was in church and she gave her life to Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And the story doesn't finish there. That lady of 43 years of age passed away last December, very unexpectedly. And standing in the morning of the funeral with her husband and her two daughters, I was able to share the powerful hope, the blessed hope that we have, that she is present with the Lord. And that was such an impact. Folks, people are at the end of themselves. People need to hear the good news of the gospel. We have got this incredible message in jars of clay that we can share with those who are lost, with those who are struggling. So that's our first truth this morning, is the gospel is good news. The second truth is that the gospel leads us to mission. Look at verse 6 again. "The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world." 30 years has passed since the death resurrection of Christ, the gospel has indeed spread from Jerusalem into Syria, into Asia Minor, into Greece, into Italy, into Egypt, into North Africa, and into Persia. The mission of the gospel is to go to the ends of the earth. And when I arrived in Sandnes last year, I thought I had arrived at the end of the earth. It really was quite a place. But what a privilege to be here in Shetland, that the gospel knows no bounds and is continuing to go forth. When you hear the gospel and when you receive the gospel, you go with the gospel. You receive the gospel and then you go. The gospel keeps going. The gospel leads us to mission, and mission leads us to the gospel. The gospel comes to you and then should go from you. The job of the church is to share good news, is to know it, to tell it, and to live it. I am absolutely amazed of how the tapestry of the Lord works. Even already this weekend, there was a lady came up to me last night at the prayer meeting. She said to me, she said, "You've got a daughter, Jade, don't you?" I'm like, "What? How did you know that?" She said, "Oh, I know through my daughter and connections." And I'm like, wow. But the tapestry of the Lord is incredible. And I'm so thankful for those who've been faithful sharing this good news of the gospel. And one of the things that really has been a huge impact for us is that Louise and I are first generation Christians. We never went to church. We never grew up in church. For me, if I'm really honest, my Sunday was spent playing snooker with Stephen Hendry, who was one of the professional snooker players. That was my passion. And then Jade came along, and she's now 24 years of age. But when she was a baby, I remember thinking, I want to be a good dad. How can I be a good father? And just at that time, Louise was out with Jade. I had two visitors come up the path at the house. And I thought it was Jehovah's Witnesses. I was a door-to-door salesman. And so these two gents come up. I opened the door, and this is the question they asked me. "If you die tonight, will you go to heaven or hell?" Whew. I was screaming inside. I'm like, wow, good question. And I thought about it a minute, and I said something like this. I said, "You know, I'm a good person. I haven't done anybody any harm, really. So I'll probably go to heaven." And he was an older Scotsman, and he looked me right in the eye, and he said, "Son, it doesn't work like that." And he quoted from the Bible, and I had no idea it was from the Bible, but he said, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved." I'm like, wow, this man's passionate about what he believes. And so he stood on the door, he chatted to me for about an hour, left me some information, and then my beautiful bride came back with Jade. And I said, "Louise, you're not going to believe this, but there was somebody at the door telling us that we could know Jesus personally." Now, husbands, you get a certain look from your wife and you know you should just drop the subject, don't you? Come on, can I have an amen? Okay, I'm up here on my own, obviously. Right, yes. So we dropped the subject. 2 weeks later, the same two gentlemen came back to my home. Now, I caught them again coming up the path, but this time Louise was home, so I made a B1 for the kitchen and allowed my dear wife to answer the door. She let them in, of course, and if I had done that, I would have been in trouble. So they came in, they were with us for an hour, and again, they were talking about this passion about for the gospel. We had no idea what sin was, what a Christian was, and they encouraged us to come to church. It was the Baptist church in Livingston. And so, of course, we got ready. We got the good suit on a couple of weeks later, and we went down to the church. And we're in a beautiful church. And during the service, they started to sing some hymns, and I'm like, what have we done? I was feeling so uncomfortable. For me, the snooker club was where I'm comfortable. I'm suddenly in a church building with a suit on that I've not had on for ages, and I'm actually really struggling. And then the man gets up, and he starts to share the sermon. And Louise is looking at me, I'm looking at her, and we're like, how does he know? We had no idea that was the power of the Holy Spirit speaking through God's word to us. And 4 or 5 weeks later, in the comfort of the same gentleman who came to my door, both of us got down on our knees and we prayed to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Folks, the gospel leads us to mission. We need to be passing on this incredible message that we have in the good news that comes in the form of Jesus Christ. Too many of us become a cul-de-sac and we don't pass on that message. And here's the incredible thing. The man who came to my door was led to faith by his daughter, Gillian Syme. Gillian Syme was studying medicine in Dundee. And when she was invited to a Christian Union event, guess who the speaker was? Ian Leach. Ian Leach proclaims the gospel. Gillian makes a commitment, comes to faith, comes back to Livingston, tells her mum and dad, who are not Christians, been going to a church for 20 years but not accepted Christ. Both of them go along to hear the message of the gospel. Both get saved. This man's passion was pigeons. Jesus Christ chained them from pigeons to people. He chapped every single door in Bell's Quarry, chapped every single door in Western Bankton. That was the same guy who came to my door. Wow. The gospel is mission. And we need to be passing on this message of the gospel. How did you receive the gospel? But more importantly, have you been faithful to pass on this message of the gospel? We read in the words, John 20:21 again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Do you know this morning that you are a sent Christian? When you get the gospel, you must keep sharing the gospel. The great preacher and Bible scholar Spurgeon said to his congregation, "Every Christian is a missionary or they're an imposter." Luke 19:10 reminds us exactly what the mission of Jesus is all about. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." So the second truth this morning is that the gospel leads us to mission. The third and final truth is that the gospel gets result. Look at verse 6 again of chapter 1. "This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard it to the truth about God's wonderful grace." Paul warns us, we don't need any worldly traditions or empty rituals. We only need the one true gospel. Billy Graham came to Scotland in 1955. He spoke for 6 weeks in the Kelvin Hall, and he shared through the message through radio. Over 2.5 million Scots heard the message of the gospel. Over 50,000 decisions for Jesus Christ. And maybe some of you are still walking with the Lord Jesus today. And praise God for that. The gospel gets results. But you say, "Rob, we live in different days. We live in different times. We live in a different context." Evangelical Alliance did some major research recently on confidence in the gospel. They're saying now, today, the church has never been better connected to our communities with opportunities of mercy ministries. But the sad reality is, for all our involvement with the community, which is wonderful, and I rejoice in that, there's actually less gospel conversations taking place now than there was 25 years ago. There's something wrong with that. We don't need another program. We need proclamation. Colossians 2:8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow or deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ." Empty rituals and false mysticism was growing in the church in Colossae. Even today, we sometimes convey a gospel with redemption but with no repentance. Christianity without being in Christ. Heaven without a hell. Paul's encouraging us and encouraging the Colossians to pursue godly lifestyles that reflect the fragrance and love of Jesus Christ. Our world is broken. Our world is broken and lost. The church hears and sees a hurting world and goes out with this gospel of grace. Let me ask you this morning, do you know the gospel? Do you have confidence in this message of the gospel? Do you believe that Christ has a claim on every life in Shetland and every life in Scotland and the United Kingdom and across our world? Christ will use you and me to minister this good news. So let me ask you this morning, are you being faithful sharing the good news of the gospel with others? I mentioned to you that over the last 5 years I've been doing chaplaincy work in the high schools. And one of the ministries that we use there is a ministry called Q Place. And it simply is, if you could ask God one question and you knew he would answer it, what would you ask him? And it's interesting that rather than set up a list of tasks, what we do is we give kids the opportunity, students the opportunity to come with their questions. I'll never forget the first time we ran Q Place. 14-year-old girl says, this is her question. If someone took their own life, but they're a good person, will God forgive them? Now, I didn't know till weeks later that that young girl's brother committed suicide. Questions like, if your God's so big, why did he let my mum die? Young people are hungry, they're hurting, they're looking for answers. And one of the things which is incredible is under Education Scotland, we're able to go in and share about the good news. Yes, we make it very inclusive. How could it be not inclusive? John 3:16, whosoever believes. You can't be more inclusive than that. And so here we are at Easter. I've got an opportunity to do an Easter assembly, which is 1,000 students over 4 days. And I did a 3-minute clip of the crucifixion, a 3-minute clip of the resurrection. And I said this morning, students, you've got a choice. First choice is that you can enjoy the presentation and you can reflect on what's happening in the presentation and see where you are this morning. On the other hand, you're here this morning and you're not a believer, and that's okay, that's fine. But in the the first one was, I'd come down this morning, if you want to bring the light of Christ into your situation, come down this morning and light a candle. Now it was battery-operated candles, okay, because we couldn't go there with matches or anything like that. So I invited them down to light a candle. I said, on the other hand, some of you here this morning, and Christianity and Easter is a very special time for you, and I invite you to come forward and receive communion. And I had bread and wine, which we're going to share in a moment. We played the clips. 73 over the 4 days, 73 young people came down in front of their peers, came down and lit a candle. 7 young people came down and received communion. As a result of that Easter service, we started a youth work. We've over 20 young people now coming from the high school, interacting with the church because of the work that's going on. You see, the gospel gets results. When you're faithful and you're sharing the good news of the gospel, people are impacted, lives are impacted. When I do an assembly, I say, look, you're maybe here this morning and you don't believe that. That is absolutely fine. I can't make you a Christian. You have to check out the evidence for yourself. And that is a great opportunity for you to explore. And this Bible has lots of answers. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. I don't know where you are in terms of your own spiritual journey, but we have this amazing truth in the good news of the gospel. So our third truth, the gospel gets results. Paul reminds us that we're Christ's ambassadors. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making our appeal through us. We speak for Christ, we plead for Christ, come back to God. So why should the gospel be of first importance? The gospel is good news. Secondly, the gospel leads us to mission. The gospel gets results. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for those who have been faithful to share the good news of the gospel, Lord, with each of us. Lord, each of us have a story to tell about how someone came, or whether we went to a Billy Graham event, or whether we saw a film or a clip, Lord, or someone shared the good news with us. Lord, we thank you for those who've been faithful passing that message on. Lord, this morning we want to come and we want to say, Lord, we're sorry. We've messed up. We know that we've fallen short. And we thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, sent your Son to rescue us. It's not about what we can do. It's about what you've done. The price is paid on the cross at Calvary. And Lord, we embrace you and we accept you as our Lord and Savior. Now, Holy Spirit, would you convict our hearts to take the moment, to seize the moment, to share the good news of the gospel. Lord, I'm so thankful for that man who's now in glory, George Syme, who is willing to come boldly to my door and share the good news. And my whole family have been turned inside out because of the good news of the gospel. Lord, I pray for every single person here this morning, young and old. I pray for every single family that's represented here. Lord, may we be ambassadors. May we see people in our family come from darkness to light. May we see people that are in error come to the truth and the knowledge of the gospel, Lord. May we see some people who have a dead spirit become alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we need you. We need you in our homes, we need you in our lives, we need you in our community, we need you in Scotland. Lord Jesus, come. We thank you that you are the God that can do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine, according to your power that's at work in our lives. Lord, we bless you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen, amen.